Good morning, Vision. Oh, come on. You're awake. You're aware. Oh, come on. Good morning, Vision. There you go. That's better. God, get that blood flowing. Welcome to June. Yeah, new month, new monthly theme. You hold the key. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. You hold the key. That's it. You know, I get these the themes from the magazine, right? Get the magazine, the Science of Mind magazine, Creative Living, whatever. Whatever it's called. What is it called? Spiritual Living magazine now, I think. I don't know. Whatever. But there it is. You hold the key. So what? The key to what, right? The key to what? Anyway, the good part about those themes is they're so broad, I can make it mean whatever I want. See? I love that part. So I'm making it mean today, right? If the monthly theme is you hold the key, then the key to what? So today's talk. It's the key to today's talk. Today's talk is the key to the kingdom. So there you go. The key to the kingdom. The key to life. The key to happiness. The key to fulfillment. The key to an extraordinary life. The key to all good. The key to the door through which we go and get our greater good. And you know that key that you've been looking for your whole life? That's the one. Well, you already have possession of it. There's really nothing to look for. You already have possession of it. You already have the key. And you want to hear the best news yet? The door's never been locked. Door's never been locked. We've been looking for a key all over the place. We've been looking for the key here and there. We've been looking for the key in self-help books, right? We've been looking for the key in silent retreats. We've been looking for the key in TED Talks. We've been looking for the key all over the place. We find out we have the key all along. The key is within us. We are like the wise fool in the Rumi stories, you know, Nasr al-Din, who was on his hands and knees on the street one night, and he was looking for his key, and he was searching and searching all over under the street lamp for his house key. And his friend comes along. His friend Mansour says, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm searching for my key." So Mansour gets on his hands and knees, and he's all around on the street looking for the key with him. And they're searching and searching, and they can't find the key anywhere. And Mansour said, "Are you sure you lost it here?" And Nasr al-Din said, "No, I lost it in the house." And they said, "Why are we out here on the street looking for the key?" Because, "Well, the light's better here." And isn't that who we are, right? We go look for things where it's better over here. Let me look over here. We look all over, and it is within us. It is within us, right? Isn't that where they say they've hidden the secret to life within us? Because it was the only place the God said. It was the only place man would never look. Is within us. Well, so then we find out that we've had the key all along, and then we find out we didn't need it to begin with because the door's not locked. We just needed our willingness. We just needed the willingness, the desire to turn the knob, to open the door, to say yes to life, to show up and say yes. Yes to life, yes to more good, yes to more self-expression, yes to a fully self-actualized life. We just needed that little willingness and to open the door. And so what stops us? A lot of times what stops us is that self-doubt. A lot of times what stops us is that little fear, some kind of fear, maybe some kind of not enoughness. Ernest Holmes, in Living Without Fear, he says this. He says, "Back of unhappiness is the thought that there is not good enough, love enough, peace enough, health enough, nor understanding enough to go around, so that as a result, some of us lack or are short of the good things in life." But what he's saying is that is a belief, that not enoughness is a belief that we have. But of course we know that spirit is enough. We know that spirit is infinite. We know that there is an infinite source. God is our source and supply. So there is an infinite source. So it is not a resource challenge, it is a consciousness challenge. There is enough. We have enough. We are enough, and everything is at our disposal. Everything is within our reach because it is all within us. It's always been there. So the keys, okay, so let's continue with that analogy anyway. So let's talk about the keys. So the keys are within us. Everything that we could ever hope and dream and desire, the how-to, the ability to have, to get, to self-actualize or to accomplish, it's all within us. And remember, the door's never locked to begin with, right? So we have all the keys within us. Door's not locked. We got everything we need. We've got the keys to the kingdom. And so let's talk about these keys right now. The keys are gratitude and optimism and love and forgiveness. G, O, L, F. Oh, God, that spells golf. Oh, the key to happiness is golf? Oh, dear God. Golf? I should have rethought this. I don't play golf. I should have rethought the acronym in tennis. Let's see, tenacity, enthusiasm, nice. All right, never mind. Let's go with golf. We'll just go with golf. The key to happiness is golf, apparently. Gratitude. Gratitude. That's the G. Where we focus our attention grows. We know that, right? What we focus our attention on grows. Simple, simple as pie. Easy, not easy, I don't know. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but it is a simple rule. What we are grateful for expands. We practice gratitude. We practice it every day. We practice being grateful for things. We have so much more to be grateful than to be sorry for. There is always so much more to be grateful for. When we awaken and we look around and we see a glorious day and we see a beautiful flower and we see a wonderful world, our desire is then to just add to it, isn't it? Just to add to it. When we see all the beauty and all the love and all the joy around us, we want to add to it. We continuously focus on the good and the just and the right. We keep thinking of more ways to expand the good and the just and the right. We just want to add to it. Now, does that mean nothing negative will ever happen to us? If we keep focusing that way, does that mean that somehow we are insulated from anything unfortunate occurring in our lives? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. So really, really listen. This is one of the biggest criticisms of New Thought. This is the biggest criticism of the New Thought teaching is that we put smiley face stickers over the check engine light and we just go on our merry way, you know? That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is be grateful in all things. Be grateful in all things. Sometimes we may feel that we're not grateful for something that occurs in our life, some unforeseen event, some tragedy, some trauma. We may not be grateful for it, but be grateful in all things. The idea that there is something there to be grateful for in all of life's events, even if we cannot see it in the moment. Even if we cannot see it in the moment, there is good to come out of this, whatever it is, even the most unfortunate events. Something is wanting to be known. Something is wanting to be birthed through that situation. Even in the darkest of times, something is wanting to be known through it. And that's where our faith comes in, doesn't it? That's where our faith comes in. That's gratitude. Gratitude in all things, regardless of the appearances. So where are we? Optimism. Yay! Optimism, like gratitude. It's not just a cheery platitude. It's not just, like I said, a smiley sticker on top of your check engine light. It's not just happy, happy, joy, joy, and ignoring what's going on. If you're happy and you know it, clap. No. Yeah. Happy, happy, joy, joy. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my... No, it's a practice. Optimism is a practice, just like gratitude. It's a practice of letting your go-to thought shift from what else can go wrong, Murphy's Law, to what else can go right, Ernest's Law. What else can go right? Optimism is just shifting that automatic go-to thought. What is your set point? But your set point is, what the hell can go wrong now? Sorry. To what else can go right? What else can go right? That becomes your go-to thought. That's optimism. We have to practice it. We have to retrain our brain. That's really all it is a practice. The practice of going positive instead of going negative. It's our choice all the time. All the time we can go down this road or that road. So it is that positive energy that vibrates at the higher level, right? It is that positive energy that gets us to resonate in the field of all possibilities. All possibilities. When we can think, what else can go right? What else can go right? We're immersing ourselves in a higher energy level, in the vibrational level of possibility. Ernest Holmes said this in something. What book was it? Creative Living. He said, there is energy in this dynamic consciousness of the divine presence, which we do not create. We convert it into action of our thought and direct it for a definite and specific purpose through our word. It's an energy we did not create. We're simply immersed in it, and it is immersed in us, and we can use it. Isn't that what Ernest Holmes said, his entire ministry? There is a power for good in the universe, and we can use it. So we can use it to travel up the spiral of what's possible, how much good can I come from this? Or we can travel downward, on a downward spiral. What else can go wrong? And it usually does, right? It meets our expectations. So which direction would you rather travel in? Optimism is looking at an infinite number of positive ways any one event can unfold. Do you hear that? Optimism is looking at an infinite number of positive ways any one event can unfold. That's our spiritual practice. There is good around us all the time, waiting, wanting to express through us. Ernest Holmes in Richer Living says, it is only as you live affirmatively can you be happy. Knowing that there is one spirit in which everyone lives, moves, and has his being, you are to feel this spirit not only in your consciousness, but in your affairs. You are united with all. You are one with eternal life itself. The presence of spirit within you blesses everyone you meet, heals everything you touch, brings gladness to the life of everyone you contact. That's big stuff. That's powerful stuff. You are the blessing to the world. You are the blessing to the world. It is no more difficult to think positively than to think negatively. It takes no more energy to think positively than think negatively. It's just a mind training. It's just our choice. And optimism, like the G in gratitude, tends to grow when we tend to it. We must tend to it like a garden. So where are we? G-O-L. Love. L is love. Brotherly love. Romantic love. Love thy neighbor. Love of life. Love those shoes. Loved that movie. I'm going to love that cake later, right? It's the first Sunday of the month. Love that cake. We get carried away with the L word, don't we? We say it for everything. Oh my God, I love those shirts. I love those shoes. I love these glasses. Love this new car I got. Love, 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 love. That's not the love I'm really talking about, though, right? We're talking about the divine love. We are talking about love as the quality of God, that unconditional love that Spirit has for its creations. And everything is its creation, because Spirit made everything out of itself, not being absorbed by its creation. So everything is its creation. So it is the self-givingness of Spirit to form. That's what we're talking about. That's the love I'm talking about, the self-givingness of Spirit to form. The urge, that creative urge to make more of itself. That's the love we're talking about. Love is the impulsion of life itself, and law is the propulsion of creation. So that's what we're talking about. Love points the way, law makes the way possible. That's the love that we're speaking about. It's an action word, right? It's a verb. It's an act of creation. And when we get that, when we awaken to the truth that that's who we are, and that's all we are that which thou art. We are transformed. We can't look at anybody else and think other, because we know we are one then. We never see other anymore when we know we are love. God is love. Everything is God. Everything is love. There is no other. Other falls away. We never see other. We simply see the one in all of its clever disguises. Oh, look, there's God. oh, look, there's God. There's, you know, it's just Spirit showing up in all of its clever disguises. Spirit shows up as me, as you, as a tree, as a bird, as a crab. It's God. It's just God. So that idea of other simply just, it just falls away. We see unity. We see unity. We know oneness. We bless everything. Because it's all God. How could we not? How could we condemn God? Right? We can't. Ernest Holm, remember, the presence of God. He just said it. The presence of Spirit within you blesses everyone you meet. Because it's all God. Blesses everyone you meet, heals everything you touch, and brings gladness into the life of everyone you meet. That Spirit as you. That's what we do. That's love as us. That's how we live the life of Spirit in form. Just like we practice gratitude and we practice optimism, we have to practice love, right? Sometimes it's not so easy. You ever been on the freeway? Rush hour? That's not half a peace sign you're seeing. We have to practice love. We have to it's a practice. It's like going to the gym, you know? You don't go to the gym once, go, okay, I got that handled, I'm done. You have to go every day. Same thing with love. You have to practice it every day. It's an action word. We have to put it into action in the world. We have to be that thing in the world. Again, it's not just a platitude. It's not just a cute little bumper sticker you slap on the back of your car. Love the world. It's something we have to practice. We can't just pull it out when it's convenient, just with those people we like, but not those other people, you know? It's all God. It's all good. It's all one. The other has to fall away. It's a state of being. It's how we show up and how we live in the world. And here's the good part about it. You know where it starts? It starts right in front of the mirror. Yes? Yes? Oh, agree with me with this. Please agree with me with this. It starts right in front of the mirror. We are awake. We are aware. We are looking at our gorgeous self in the mirror, and we're saying, God, you look fine today. Right? Spirit, you are showing up amazing in the world. And you look at yourself as that Spirit in form, the divine having an experience as you, the highs and the lows. I'm not saying that it's all going to be perfect. Just because you recognize that you are Spirit, that you're 100% Spirit, there's nothing else about you but Spirit. And we still act wonky sometimes. There are highs and lows. There are skilled and unskilled behaviors. We exhibit strengths and weaknesses. And we acknowledge when we look in the mirror everything we are and everything we are not. And we accept it and we bless it. Because if we can do it with ourselves, isn't it easier then to do it with others? If we're busy beating ourselves up, how forgiving can we be with other people? So it has to start with the self. We must practice self-love if we're going to love unconditionally in the world, if we're going to be that in the world. We have to practice it again. Unconditional love includes us, by the way. Unconditional love includes us. Now, that being said, again, no smiley face stickers on the end, check engine light. I'm not advocating a blind acceptance to all of our unskilled behaviors, you know? We're not talking about walking through life going, oh, it's just the way I am, you know? I'm never changing. When we act out, when we display our unskilled behavior, when we grow up all over somebody, we have to take responsibility for that. You know, we have to take responsibility for that. We act out of a false belief a lot of times, sometimes, that we are not who we think we are. And you know, it's up to us to go within first when we do something like that. Has anybody ever displayed unskilled behavior but me? Am I the only one? My God. All right, I'm talking about myself here. When I go off the rails and I exhibit all kinds of unskilled behavior, what is the first thing to do? Go within. First thing to do is to go within, go to prayer, right? Again, no smiley face sticker over the rage and just call it a day. When we exhibit that unskilled behavior, there's something in us that needs to be healed. There's some false belief in there. Somebody pressed a button of ours, you know? When we go off the rails, when we go all offended, when we go crazy, get all lit up, there's somebody touched something that was already there, right? Some false belief, something, And we just get all lit up by it. The first thing to do is go to prayer. And then you ask the question, right? What is this? What is this thing? What am I feeling? Why am I so upset? What is this thing? Why is it there? Who put it there? When did I install that button? I didn't see this coming. I've been blindsided. What wants to be known through this mess? What wants to be known through this mess I'm feeling? So instead of our habit, which is a habit, of getting all upset, playing the victim, running around, trying to enroll other people about, look at how mistreated I was. Here's my briefcase. Here's all the evidence. This person treated me crappily. Is that even a word? I'm sorry. You know, we run around all upset, and we blame the other person for getting us mad, and then we try to enroll everybody else in our side of the story. How many people have ever? Okay. Oh my God, look what he did to me. You know? No. There's no out there. There's only us. Go within. You feel yourself getting that button pushed, right? The anger raising up. Oh my gosh. The job is to heal ourselves of our own woundedness. That's self-love. And then that allows us to look out on a world of love. If we don't take the time to look at our own woundedness, we will look out on a wounded world. We'll look out on a world that needs fixing or helping or testifying or converting or something. We need to heal the wounds within us, and then we can look out on a healed world. This is why our work is so important. Self-love, healing the wounds that are within us so we are not acting out of our unskilled behavior, so we're not processing all over everybody, so we're not running around being the victim and blaming somebody else and trying to enroll the rest of the congregation in our story. That's why we do the inner work. Self-love, doing the work of healing our own wounds, allows us to then love everyone else unconditionally, because then we can look out on a world with love. See everyone else the same. What am I up to? F. Oh, the F word. I love that. Second favorite F word. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the keys to the kingdom. And forgiveness is self-forgiveness. I want you to hear that. All forgiveness is self-forgiveness. Like I've said, all forgiveness is self-forgiveness because it is our practice of letting go of our suffering from someone else's behavior in our past, right? It's all based in the past. It is releasing our attachment to someone else's unskilled behavior. That's what forgiveness is. It's about surrendering the habit of going back in our minds over the injury again and again and again and again and wanting it somehow to be different, or wanting justice, or wanting revenge, or wanting them to somehow get it and apologize to us. All of those things we have, you know, it's like no control over, right? It's about letting go of that whole story, that whole Michigas, you know? It's about letting go of the story of in our minds of what happened and who's at fault and who needs to apologize and how, on and on and on and on and on. Now, that being said, again, we're not talking about condoning someone else's unskilled behavior. I'm not saying it's all right, do it again. I'll be your little spiritual doormat. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about forgiveness as a gift to ourselves. And there is a strength in that. It is a practice we do for ourselves. It is an opportunity to free us from events of the past and to bring ourselves fully present in this eternal now, this moment right here, because this is where your power lies. Your power is in the eternal now. Your power is here. So it has nothing to do with condoning bad behavior. It simply has to do with freeing your own energy, freeing yourself to live fully present right here, right now. And there you have it. The keys to the kingdom are golf. I don't understand it. But you hold the key. You hold the key. We make the choice every moment of every day. We make the choice whether we're going to hold on to it, we're going to let it go, whether we're going to live a greater life, whether we're going to free ourselves up. We hold the key. We make the choice. We are the only ones who can make that decision for our own life. Just like you can't make somebody else forgive, you don't have power over someone else, they don't have power over you either. We all have that choice. Ernest Holmes said this in Inspiration Within Me Guides Me. He said, I now clarify my vision. I purify my thought so that it becomes a mirror reflecting inspiration direct from the secret place of the Most High at the center of my own being. I do this by quiet contemplation, not through strenuous effort, but by learning to fast to all negation and to feast upon the affirmations of spiritual realization. I know that I need never break before the onslaught of confusion that exists around me. Today I walk in the light of God's love. Today I am guided, and my guidance is multiplied. I know exactly what to do and exactly how to do it. There is an inspiration within me which governs every act, every thought, in certainty, with conviction, and in peace. I know that the key that unlocks the treasure house, the key to the kingdom of God, is in my spiritual hand. This is the kingdom of God's creation, and it is directly experienced by me today.